D.C. I brought Kleenexes up here with me. You hit home with one song, I'll tell you that. They were all good. But one of them. Oh, you're my brothers and sisters. I'll fill you in on the one. In Christ alone. Wasn't how I planned to start out this morning at all. Not at all. But God is good. I love him so much. I just lost a very, very good friend of mine on February 8th. I saw him come to Christ. I gave him his first Bible. I discipled him. He grew in Christ so fast. And he was just so filled with God's love. We did so much together over the years. Met every couple of weeks for Bible study, discipleship. And I saw him grow in Christ. And I was there when his pastor laid hands on him and ordained him as a pastor himself. What hit home this morning is he was dying of lung cancer, and he was home, and we communicate. He really couldn't talk much, and I knew it, and we would just text back and forth. And I texted him something, and he responded back. Was just crosses, hearts, and the cross. And that was it. And then I texted him a few days later, and there was no response. So I knew his time was short. He knew it, and those close to him knew it. So I might have been getting ready for today with a sermon. I was in my room and at the desk, and I just put on songs. Larry does that a lot when he comes to Bible study. The guys come in there with all kinds of stuff, stuff that's going on in the world. And Larry's just got some nice praise music playing when the guys come in. So I was doing the same thing. And that song, In Christ Alone, I just started weeping and thinking of Carmen. Carmen Pinaro, my friend, till he returns and or calls me home, you know, and I knew that his time, God was going to call him home. So I sent him that song, and I said, just listen to it and be blessed, my brother. And I know he couldn't talk. He probably even couldn't communicate, but I know he listened to it. That may be the last song he heard. Now, I've been asked to speak at his memorial service at the chapel because there's going to be so many people whose lives he's touched. And they said he's chosen some songs. I'm just thinking, I ain't going to be able to do that if they play that song, In Christ Alone. I'm not, but I guess I'm going to have to. So anyways, that's what Duke's dealing with right now. Hallelujah, though. Know. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And he's good right now. I had an intro for us this morning. But as I was leaving the house this morning, seeing I pulled out of the driveway, and I looked up, and if you know where I live, I've got a 9-foot cross at the end of my driveway. Very visible. And it's visible at night because I have a solar panel there. And it picks it up. And then when it gets dark, it kicks on and it lights it up for most of the night. And I was thinking, oh, good. Finally, the sunshine, you know, it's going to get charged up. And that cross will be lit up tonight. And I looked at it. When I looked, I said, oh, no. I said, look at that. It's all covered up with snow. And I thought, I got to get up there and clean off that snow, but it fit right into where I'm going this morning. about there's some things. We've been through a couple tough months here at the end, probably for about a year and a half. We faced a lot of things. I mean, riots, lawlessness, an election that was just crazy, world pandemic. It's been a lot. And as we were praying this morning, Eddie touched on what I was going to preach on this morning. I'm going to hold off telling you what it is. But there's a desire to get back to normalcy. And we don't know what that's going to be, but we want it because that's where peace and joy was. We had peace. And the world is trying to find peace in a lot of different ways, a lot. And they're not finding it. They're not doing well. The church has a clear path to that, which I want to get us all on again and maybe knock some of that snow off that solar panel that we are, get this stuff out of the way, and not get in with maybe the world's ways of finding this. But it is desired by the world, and they'll try anything. You know, during the pandemic here, you know, one of the businesses that stayed open that was considered essential? my wife got it. Cindy?
The liquor store.
The liquor store. It was open. It was essential. People had to have peace. They had to have calm. They had to have calm. So the liquor stores open, people are at peace. That's worldly peace. We're not going that way. But Jesus said that in this world we will have trouble. But to take heart, for I have overcome the world. And if you study that, that take heart actually means cheer up. Yeah, we got troubles. We all got troubles. Those in the church have troubles. He said he was writing to the church. If somebody else was reading that, they're reading somebody else's mail, because that's to us. In this world, you will have trouble. No amens, okay? But cheer up. You can amen that. Amen. Because I have overcome the world, Jesus tells us. Amen. So the enemy comes at us with all kinds of stuff to get us off focusing on him, fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, amen? Yeah, he progresses us along. It's Jesus working in us and through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And right now there's what I call the weapons of mass distraction hitting us from every angle possible. So I'm going to address that, and we're not going to stand for that anymore in the church. Thanks, worship team. It's all good. Amen. It's all good. Thank you, Lord. The world looks to these things. I mentioned a few of them, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, whatever it may be. As a fix to this desired effect, what they're trying to get. And I'll get to that in a minute. But what that is simply a placebo. You know what a placebo is? It's just something that's fake. It ain't real. It doesn't work. It's a fake pill, usually. Something the medical professional will give you, a sugar pill. How do you feel? Oh, my back's better, you know? I'll call Salino and Barnes and tell them my back's better. Cancel the, or Barnes for, and cancel the lawsuit. You know, my back's better. It ain't going to happen. But it's a placebo. It doesn't work, but yet we take it. And we expect the results that we want is not going to happen because it doesn't contain the substance that's needed. But my brothers and sisters, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we cannot settle for placebos, something fake. We're going for the real thing. Because Christ's church Christ has empowered his church through the Holy Spirit to be alive, first of all, alive, to be strong, and to be Spirit-filled. And if we'll do that, praise God, we will be that light that somebody prayed about. We are the light in this dark world. And that's what I believe at AMC here this morning, all you saints in the Lord who have been redeemed by his blood. That's what we want, isn't it? Amen. That's what we want. And today I'll be connecting some of those dots. To get there, what I want to do, and I need some help, maybe we can have the Bear girls and maybe the Kipfers here start it off. I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to tell me the opposite. There's a fancy word for that. Antonym. An antonym. I asked my wife. I had it in my notes. I'd have got there if you gave me a minute. I was on the wrong page. An antonym. This will help a lot. Okay? I'll give you a word. Okay? And I'm going to try and listen who gives me the answer first. Okay? You listening, Kipfers? Bears? We'll start off with the younger ones first. Okay. The opposite. Good. Okay, you got to be, that was easy. Bad? Yes. But come on, you didn't know that? Come on. Yes, you did. You got to be quick and loud. Up. Down. East. Right. Or wrong. we'll count. We'll talk to the judge. Did that count? Right, left? Okay. Okay. Now we'll bring in another one. You gotta be quick now. Peace. Adults, peace.
Chaos.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's not a one-word answer to that. And I thought that would happen because I thought of that myself. Right. War. Stephanie, what did you say? Did you say anything? Chaos. Yeah. Yeah. Those are opposites of peace. But it covers a broad spectrum. What I'd like to do now is go to the scriptures, read a section of scripture that you're familiar with, which you probably heard in the last couple months, at least referred to, and we'll focus on one section of scripture. It's a few verses. I'll read it all in context here. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, actually 8 to, I believe, 20. I'm going to read 8 through 20. And it's about the shepherds, where the angel appears to the shepherds. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up those things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. In the midst of that, and I read it in context for a purpose, is verse 14. And it's very interesting because what we're looking at and what I want to talk about this morning is peace. The peace of God. God's peace. And I think we have been lacking in that for a while. Things are taking away. We're giving up the peace that is in through Christ, and we will take a good look at that this morning. In the Greek, how that sentence, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests, is translated a lot of different ways. But going back to the best sources I have to the original Greek, this is how it is in the Greek, and the translators took it from here. Glory, God in highest, and on earth, peace to men, favor. Now, the translators team, they'll get that those Greek words, and they'll work on it, and they'll try and put it in a sentence that we can understand. And there's different translations, different teams, different scholars come together. But that's what they were working with. Glory God in highest, and on earth, peace to men, favor. The KJV reads, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill toward men, which is most commonly used. NIV, peace to men on whom his favor rests. New Living Translation, to those whom God is pleased. ESV, among those whom he is pleased. And finally, the paraphrase message of all of them, the message. To all men and women on earth who please him. I think if you look, what I did is I looked at every translation I had in my Logos software, and really, they all translated that peace to those on whom God's favor rests or whom God is pleased, and that's very important. It's very important. We don't want to miss this, misunderstand it, and if I don't teach it correctly, and correctly divide God's word, people may walk out, as many do out there when you Christmas carol or talk to people. Christmas time is just a time of peace for everyone, right? Basically, it's just a peaceful time for everyone. Not so. They may think that, but not so. Scripture doesn't reveal that. There's just two words in that passage I really want to focus on. It will make all the difference in the world. The first one is peace. And on earth, peace. Peace. Irena. That's the Greek. And the meaning of that, the sense of it, is blessing of peace. Blessing of peace. A state of peace that is a blessing or favor. Did you get that? Very important. A state of peace that is a blessing or favor. Now, favor, the Greek, is eudokia. Eudokia. That's the Greek word. And what that means is that which pleases someone. What pleases. Eudokia is pleasing. It pleases someone. That's the Greek word. And what they've done, this is all the words that the translators used to get that eudokia in that scripture verse. On whom his eudokia rests. On whom his eudokia rests. And that was the NIV, that's what I'm using. But I use mine as an example. So, Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." That good purpose is eudokia, according to his pleasing. If we please God, where we're going with this, my brothers and sisters, if we're pleasing to God, if we're doing something pleasing for God or to God or have done something pleasing, then we are at peace with God. We will follow that thought a little bit more. But that peace on earth is not for all men, not for all mankind. Peace is not assured to all, but only those pleasing to God, the objects of his good pleasure. At that time, Rome was experiencing what they call it a Pax Romana. It's a Roman peace. They were at peace. They were the world superpower. So they were at peace. And the military, you know, the Roman Empire, they could be brutal, but there was a peace. They had things calmed down. My brothers and sisters, that was a placebo of real peace. That was a placebo. It's not the real deal. It's not God's peace. Not God's peace. What the angels were talking about, a more lasting peace than that. A peace of mind and soul made possible by a Savior. His name is Jesus. Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself is our peace. For he alone, Christ, is our peace." We don't need Doc's, the liquor store, to find peace. It's here this morning. It's Christ. Amen? It's Jesus. He is our peace. Like, God is love. It's him. It's in him and through him. And it is his to give. God is sovereign, and he will give peace to whom he decides to give peace. Peace, it's God's to give. It's a gift. It's a favor to those who please him. The faith chapter, Hebrews 11:6. You know that one? Yeah. Without faith? That's right. Darwin, say it again loud and clear. Say it again.
It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him.
End of conversation. Without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. If you're not pleasing to God, are you going to be at peace? No. You'll find ways to try and find it. The world does, but not us. And we've got to remember that. We've got to walk in faith. We walk in faith. Listen, overall, did Jesus come to bring peace to the earth? Not a trick question. Go filter it through Scripture. What, Ken?
He is peace.
Did Jesus come to bring peace to the earth?
He came to bring a sword.
Darwin, you're helping me preach here. Matthew 10, 34 through 36. I'll read this one, okay, Darwin? But you got it. You got it, my brother. Do not suppose, this is Jesus, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. It comes with knowing the truth, walking with God. The world is not going to accept it. Look what the world did. Jesus came on to who? His own. And what did they do? They denied him and they received him not. You think the world would be any different? And I don't care if it's members of your own family. I'm dealing with that, right, hon? We've got that friction in our own family. Would I call them my enemies? Of course not. I love them. I'm praying every day that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ or come back to Christ. Either way, they got to come to the cross. But We should not think that because we have peace, everybody's going to love us. They hated Jesus, so what? They're going to hate us also. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Like that Pax Romana. Roman peace. It's a placebo. Christ doesn't give us that peace. Hallelujah. We've got peace because we've got Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's the Gospel of John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Nobody else can give you that peace, my brothers and sisters. Nobody and nothing out there can give you that peace, but only Jesus Christ and faith in and through him. It is only those who have the Spirit of God who have the peace of God. For they are the only ones who truly please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And what you probably saw it. I see a lot of heads going, yeah. K-N-O-W, Jesus. K-N-O-W, peace. No Jesus, no peace. N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. No peace. If you don't know Jesus, do you have peace? If you don't know Jesus, you do not have peace. They may live more peaceful, seemingly, than maybe we are at times, but we got to remember that. We got to remember that. We have to be at peace no matter what we face. Now, I'm on a series. This actually got me back there because I'm going through a series in Romans, and I know you don't want me to miss a time of preaching from Romans. I know that. Okay. But this is where I started, and then I backed up. I went to what was before this. We're in Romans 5. That's where we were going to next time. I'm there now, so we can check that one off. Hallelujah. Romans 5. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to these words. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And this, my brothers and sisters, listen carefully, because this is loaded. We'll talk about it, but listen. Just the first, not even two full verses. Therefore, and therefore is therefore, the reason it's there, because Paul just got done talking about Abraham's faith. Faith, Abraham's faith. And because of his faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. That was chapter 4 and coming to the end of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. In Christ alone, we're standing there in his love. We're standing there in his power. This is where we stand. This is what Paul is saying. We're only 2.5 verses into this section. Look what we've seen. We've been justified through faith. We have peace because we have Jesus, and he's showing us his grace. All in a verse and a half. That's loaded. We've got to just take that in. That is awesome. Just remember Romans chapter 5. And this new life in Christ brings us peace. Peace with God. That's what, because we are in Christ. We have a new life, and that life is filled with peace and joy. That's the kingdom of God within us. Righteousness, what? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's as simple as that. We don't have to complicate this. If you have the Son, then you have life. And then you have peace because you have life through Christ. It's all about Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's focusing on Him and Him alone, in Christ alone, in Christ alone. Don't settle for any placebo peace that the world may be offering. Anyone who has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior does not have faith that will bring the peace, that will provide the grace to withstand what we're facing in these days and the days ahead. I'm going to pick up where I left off in verse 2, the second part of verse 2 of Romans 5. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. I'll read that again. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's all through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God creates or allows seasons of suffering. When we suffer, we want to what? First thing we want to do, if we're suffering, get in a tight spot, we want to what? Get out of it. We don't want to walk in suffering. And we shouldn't want to. What we should want to do is to get through it, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know there's a purpose that God has for allowing us to walk through it. It's that so He may prove Himself through our persevering, our faith, our persevering in the midst of those trials, in the midst of that suffering, getting through it. So I heard someone say one time, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going, because you'll get through it if you trust Jesus. Now, back to the shepherds, because we know that Jesus said that to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in what? Our weaknesses. God's power is perfected in our weaknesses. We're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Let's take another view of this. Back to the shepherds. When the angel came, the shepherds were terrified. But they came with good news about a Savior. Then they hurried off, found a Savior, and then they spread the word. And all who heard it were amazed. They returned glorifying and praising God. Hallelujah. Let's just take a little view into the suffering. And this is a tough one. Matthew 2, 7 through 18. You know what Matthew 2 is? It's early on. Herod found out from the Magi. He found out that there was a king that was born. Herod was furious when the Magi told him that. And he gave orders, because they didn't come back and tell him where this king was. They went and saw this, and they knew the Lord got him out of there. They had orders to kill every boy in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. Bethlehem and the surrounding area, every baby boy from 2 years old and under, every child. The Roman soldiers went there to Bethlehem and the vicinity and killed all the babies there. Matthew 2, 17 and 18. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, weeping. Rachel, for her children, and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. It was a prophecy that was fulfilled. Consider this, tying this all together with peace, joy, rejoicing. The shepherds went away rejoicing, and just a short time later, the Roman soldiers came. Do you think those any of those shepherds had children, 2 years old or younger? The ones that had seen Jesus in the manger and knew he was the Savior? Did they have children? They could have. It's just something I thought of. I didn't read that in any history books, but they could have had children that were killed because of that child, because of that Savior. Do you think they gave up hope? We're supposed to rejoice even in the midst of suffering, and there's no limit on the suffering that we may have to go through. We can never give up our hope, my brothers and sisters. James 1 says, consider pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so we may be found complete, mature, not lacking anything. Peace in persevering. I'm going to close it up here. We who follow Jesus are called to be his what? Disciples, right? Disciples who hold to his teachings. Now, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I've said it many, many times. I pointed it out, but I still keep hearing it taken out of context. The truth will set you free. Let me read it in context, okay, and see if you can pick it up. Because I hear it all the time. I'm not putting the truth down. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm taking it in context. To the Jews who had, this is John 8:31-32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He sets us free by holding to his teachings and believing in them. We have to resist the temptation of looking to the world to find peace. If we look to the world for satisfaction, especially to have peace, we are double-minded. And it happens easily. There's a word for it, it's called syncretism. Syncretism. And syncretism with the world. We're joining the two together. A little bit of the world, a little bit of scripture. We'll get it together and we get this feel-good thing. The definition is the amalgamation or attempted amalgamation of different religions, cultures, or schools of thought. Amalgamation, okay. In definition, I got to get a definition of what the definition is for syncretism. Amalgamation, the action, process, or result of combining or uniting. And the words that are similar, combination, union, merger, blend, or mix. A word of caution, a word of warning. We have to be mindful about merging, syncretizing with the philosophies and thoughts of the world, especially now. The heat is getting turned up. The heat is getting turned up for the Church of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready. We have to, in the prayers, about standing firm, boldly. I think Dave Schmidt prayed that this morning. Now's the time. And the example of all that is the threat of amalgamation with a competitor. How about that? Trusting in Jesus alone is the only way we will have true peace. John 6:33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. I have told you these things so that in you may have peace in me. That's Christ speaking. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah, amen. Would somebody read, and that means cheer up, take heart. Read Psalm 19:14, and we can close with that one. And I'll expect an amen from the whole congregation, when somebody read, who would want to read Psalms 19:14? Okay, thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Pat, would you read that again? Just nice and loud. It's good.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
That's my prayer for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.